To shape a Christian family, we must found it on the love of God. We're not here to serve ourselves. We are here to love God, which means to lay down our lives, to serve others.
Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
How many of you have read at least part of St. Augustine's Confessions? I can see not very many of you are familiar with that, and I would strongly recommend that you run, don't walk, to the nearest bookstore, and you should be able to find it in any bookstore, secular bookstore. It is a brilliant but most overpoweringly intimate description of his running from God for years. Many of you know his story and how he was prayed for by his mother. She watered the ground with her tears. She prayed most earnestly that God would not permit her son to leave North Africa and go to Rome, where she was sure that he would be spiritually demolished. And God said no to that prayer, and she lay weeping on the wharf as he took the boat for Rome. And she was just devastated that all those years that she had prayed that he would never go to Rome, God had allowed him to go to Rome. What she did not know, of course, was that in Rome he would become a Christian. It's a wonderful story. But in his book, The City of God, and some of you may have read that one, the whole thesis of that book is that there are two cities. One is founded by the love of God to the point of disregarding self, and the other is founded by the love of self to the point of disregarding God. The conflict of two loves, and that conflict rages in the breast of every one of us because we are sinners. The same conflict which founded those two cities, the city of God and the city of this world. The city of God, of course, founded on the love of God to the point of disregarding self. In the city of this world, founded on the love of self to the point of disregarding God. To shape a Christian family, we must found it on the love of God to the point of disregarding self. That's what a Christian family is about. We're not here to serve ourselves. We are here to love God, which means to lay down our lives, to serve others. And a family is, as we said, a community of love, a community established by God. It is a community where the love of God is the law. It pains me to hear political terminology introduced into family life. Words like rights and equality, those are political terms. C.S. Lewis says equality is a political fiction, necessary in the political area, but not by any means always desirable, and I would say never an appropriate term to be used in a Christian home, because a Christian home is a place where God is loved to the point of disregarding self. We have no concern whatsoever with rights. We have no concern with equality, because it's my job to serve everybody else in the family, whether I'm the mother or one of the children. Every member of the family is here to serve every other member. I had a letter from a mother telling me that she had three daughters and one son, and the daughters were younger, and the son was only 11 years old, I think she said. And she said, I think that my son should help me with the dishes, but I can't think why. Would you please give me a good reason? Well, it seemed very simple to me, and I gave her what I thought was all the reason she needed to give him, which was, you're a member of this family. If I need your help in washing the dishes, you will wash the dishes. After all, I cook the meal. How about you washing the dishes? And if he has some objection that's girls' work or something like that, well, as any sensible mother or father would say, I'm your mother or I'm your father, and this is what you're going to do. Don't allow your children to bully you on something like that. But that's a very good reason. We are here to serve one another. But a family is a community of love called to guard and reveal the love of God, and it derives its name from God himself. that beautiful prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians. He said, I bow my knee before the Father from whom all fatherhood earthly and heavenly is named, and pray that out of the glorious richness of his resources, he will grant you to know the strength of the Spirit's inner reinforcement, that Christ may actually live in your hearts by faith. And if you don't know quite what to pray for your children, let me strongly urge you to study Paul's prayers for his spiritual children. In all of his epistles, you're going to find wonderful prayers, and they make great models. If you're like me, you very often, probably most of the time, don't know exactly what other people's needs are. Rarely do we really know. We may think we know what their greatest need is. We probably don't. We may know a need, and it's right and proper, of course, that we should mention those in our prayers. But most of the time, what they really need is probably something infinitely greater than what we imagine. And so I find it very helpful to use Paul's words and to pray prayers like that. Why is love the fundamental calling? Well, for the very obvious reason that God is love. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12 says, Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It is his nature. And when we ask those hard questions of God, do you love me? If you love me, how could you allow this to happen? How could you allow this to happen to me? How could you allow this to happen to somebody I love? Never forget that you are talking to the one who is the very essence of love. He can never act in any way contrary to his love. Never mind how it looks to you. Never, never doubt the love of God. It is impossible for God to act in any way contrary to his love. And you parents, you know perfectly well that some of the ways in which you treat your children in real honesty and love, they will never understand. When my parents said to me when they were about to punish me, this hurts me worse than it hurts you, of course I didn't believe them. But I do now. As a parent, I certainly had to spank my daughter. And the child, of course, says, you don't love me. And that's only a human illustration. We're not infallible. We're not omniscient. God is all-powerful, all-wise, and all-loving. Love is a reciprocal, personal gift of the self. A sacrifice. It involves self-denial. It is an act of free will, a generous sharing of all that I am. Now you can see that these two different kinds of love are poles apart. The two kinds of love that St. Augustine describes, the love of God to the point of disregarding self. Now, does that come natural to you and me? It's very far from coming natural. What comes natural to you and me is the love of self to the point of disregarding God. And to disregard God is to disregard my brother, to disregard those whom I am supposed to love. And if I am meant to lay down my life for others, then this is a supernatural kind of love. It will never come naturally to any of us. And it is something that we can only receive as a gift of grace. But we have to be willing to receive it. Pray that the Lord will give you that kind of love for your husband, your wife, your children. And as you shape that Christian family as a community founded on the love of God and a community meant to reveal the love of God, then God will give you a wider and wider ministry. But we begin by that act of surrender with which Jesus began. Total act of surrender to God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is an act of spiritual worship. And to me, it's a great link. It's wonderfully revealing that the spiritual and the physical are so intimately linked. And if there's one thing that parents need to remember every day, is that all these physical needs that you're constantly working at, and that seems to take up about 23 and a half hours of your day, all the physical things and the visible things and the laundry and the cooking and all the little messes and everything else, that these are intimately and inextricably linked with spiritual work. Acts of spiritual worship done for the love of God. And remember Jesus' words, if you've done it for one of the least of these, you've done it for me. And 1 John 3:16, which is the corollary to John 3:16. I would imagine almost everybody here could repeat John 3:16 for us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us. And we, in our turn, must lay down our lives for each other. Simple principle. Very simple. So often when I get letters from people with 15 pages describing a horrible and insoluble situation, I really want to just write back about three sentences and say, it's simple. The answer is simple. Love will show you what to do. If you can learn what self-sacrificing, self-abnegating, self-abandoning, self-donating love is about, you'll know what to do, because love will show you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.